Welcome back to the Wolf of Queen Street podcast. Today on the show, IPW heavyweight champion, Hughes Academy's number one contender, the last of the 300, and this is Spartan. Welcome to the show, mate.
Thanks for having me, man.
It's amazing. You know, I had Tox Filer on the show a couple of weeks ago from New Japan Dojo, all the rest of it. I've seen your journey myself. My son is a massive fan of what you're doing in the New Zealand scene, obviously with IPW heavyweight champion, number one contender in news. You've just caught out. You had a 30-minute fight yesterday with Frankie Quinn, the news champion, and you just caught out a one-hour Ironman match for next month. Man, you all the way around and everything about pro wrestling in New Zealand, you know, why? Well, let's go to the first question. Why pro wrestling, you know, before, why are you doing it so intense as well?
I'm trying to make history, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. I love the sport of wrestling. I love New Zealand wrestling. And I just want to do everything I can to promote it and build it as best I can. So the one-hour Ironman match is something that's never been done in New Zealand before. So
yep.
There's been half-hour Ironman matches. There's been, I don't know if there's even been a match that's lasted an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there's definitely never been a one-hour Ironman match. And I think Frankie and I are the two best wrestlers in the country. And I think it's going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So where'd your journey start? I mean, you've been in the scene for a period of time. Like, you know, you say you love the sport and everything else, but where was it the point that, I mean, I'm growing up, but as I've spoken the last few shows, my son, you know, yourself, just anyone else that's watching, listening, I've got Spartan next to me. I've got Alex Savage behind the camera. In 5 days' time, these guys are fighting for one of the most prestigious cups, the Kincaid Cup in New Zealand. So I'm sitting here and I told him before the scenes, behave the fuck, no one going through a table while we're chatting. So especially Mr. Savage, who is a vicious, bad man behind the camera, needs to behave today. Because, yes, I'd love to watch it, but I can't pay for the mics and the table if you guys fuck it up. So take it back. Like, what got, you know, you said you love the sport and everything else. So was it something that a couple of years ago you just thought, okay, I love the sport, I'm going to give it a go? Or is it always a vision since, as a kid or a teen to get into it?
Yeah, so as young as I can remember, probably about 7 years old,
mm-hmm.
I saw wrestling on TV. And I was captivated. I went, wow, this is amazing. And I've watched as much as I could. I was never allowed to watch wrestling as a kid. I guess my parents didn't like the violence. But I guess that's probably what made me like it even more, was the fact I wasn't allowed to watch it. And I had to stay up late. I had to stay up till midnight and watch Raw on the box, you know, and I always said, I want to do that one day. I want to do that. And I was always told, like, oh, that's not for you. That's not really possible. You're not going to do that. And that made me even hungrier. So as soon as I left high school, I moved out of home, 18 years old. I found a wrestling gym in Wellington, NZWPW, a now defunct company.
Yep.
And as soon as I could, I just went straight there and I started training. And it was the hardest thing I think I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most painful, most exhausting sport I've ever done. And yeah, I guess there were definitely times where I thought, maybe I can't do this. This is fucking hard. But I pushed through and I just kept working at it. And yeah, I've been around for 7 years now. New Zealand heavyweight champion, Kincaid Cup holder, soon to be Hughes Academy champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just doing my best.
Just ticking those tick boxes, right?
Yeah,
Kicking ass, taking names. But going back to the stuff, you know, 18 going into Wellington in the gym and the rest of it, and I always bring this up when I talk to guys in the pro wrestling scene, so, and to the public vision, like this whole, oh, it's soft and it's all the rest of it. You're a big dude, man. I've seen, you know, seen you train all the rest of it and going through and taking those bumps. Like you said, it's not easy in the gym, right? It's not easy with the training and all the rest of it. There's nothing soft or light about what you guys do to get yourself ready in that ring.
No, absolutely. About 6 months ago, I completely tore my PCL, which is a ligament in your knee. And I took exactly 2 weeks off wrestling.
Because that's how busy you've been.
Yeah, yeah. And this sport is so hard that if I were to take 6 months off, like I probably should have, there go a lot of my bookings.
Yep.
There goes all my momentum. So you just can't really afford to take that sort of time off. So I wrestled on a torn PCL for the last 6 months. It's just pretty much healed now.
Yeah.
And then about 3 weeks ago, I tore my rotator cuff and separated my AC joint. And
it just happens.
Yeah. I took a week off, and I wish I didn't take that week off because I missed a show and I lose some momentum. I lose some, I lose a bit of recognition from fans, because if you're missing shows, fans are missing you. They're not seeing you.
Yep.
So I always regret taking time off. As much as I know I should have taken the time off, I wish I hadn't. I broke my toe about 4 weeks ago just at training.
Yep.
And you just can't take time off. You have to push through.
It's someone that's going to sit there and be hypocritical on this. I'm going, oh, Spartan, are you just maybe just a clumsy dude because you keep breaking shit?
Well, it could be onto something.
Or is it that people don't realize how many injuries actually happen, right? I know the used card last month, the main fight against Frankie. Gentleman broke his finger, I think, off to the match, right? Yesterday, Tony from Philo Dojo, I think his knee just looked like he did have some damage on the knee after the match. The knocks happen, man.
Yep.
The knocks, the falls. I know we'll get into the match. You went off the top rope into the crowd on a wooden floor on Nightmare Before Christmas against Horus for the title in December. I mean, that shit is real. And that shit is hard, man, to fall on a wooden floor. There was no one caught you. There was no like a WWE, you're going to fall and then there's a soft cushioning. That was wooden floors going on too, right?
Yep. So that was from the top turnbuckle over the barricade onto Horus, onto the floor.
Did it hurt?
Didn't feel it. Felt like nothing.
Oh, yes, serious? Well, you couldn't remember it. I know. Let's go to that's the night you won the title, right?
Yeah.
So Nightmare Before Christmas 2023, challenging Horus for the IPW Championship. I know I've spoken to Horus recently about that. I know he was concussed during the match or something, got a head knock.
Yep.
He remembers all of about 2 minutes. You guys put on a ridiculously crazy show in the crowd, off the top turnbuckle, into the crowd, fighting all the rest of it. And it went on for ages, man. And, it was an amazing match.
Yeah, so that match, I think, lasted about 35 minutes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so when I dove from the top rope onto him, you can see pretty clearly I land on my left hip and my left heel. I couldn't walk on that heel for about a week and a half. And I can't even really describe the pain caused from landing on that hip, you know. I felt like I was paralyzed.
But you still went on, man.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, another tick box. Spartan's definitely, you know, playing this whole thing of every time. But it's because you go full out, right?
Yeah.
And it's going full out and it's real and it's wooden floors and it's, a lot. What I love to see about the pro wrestling scene here is it's not safe between the ropes. In other words, it's not the guys aren't just staying in the ropes, the guys and girls. You guys are coming out, you get in the crowd, you're getting thrown. You know, yesterday at the Use event, Frankie threw you through the pile of chairs.
Yeah.
You know, fall wrong or the chair moves wrong and it's in the hips, it's in the rib, it's head in your head. I know you got cut. I can see it on your forehead as well. There was blood during the show. And that's just, you know, given part of pro wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's not safe. Yeah. It's not a safe sport. There's a lot of accidents. There's a lot of injuries. We're out there competing against each other. You know, whatever you want to say about wrestling, I'm trying to be the best wrestler in the country.
Yep.
I'm not going to help the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to show everyone that I'm the best.
Yep.
And I think that's another thing too. I have a lot of respect for the fans because they are the reason that I can do this. They're coming and they're buying their tickets. So I feel like I owe it to them to give them something special.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go out and half-ass it and, I don't want to get hurt. I'll just take it easy. You know, every single person that pays for a ticket deserves, I think, to see something special. And that's what I try and do every time I get in the ring. I never half-ass it.
Yeah, it's so true. Like I've been following you for about the last year, and I can say that's why there's never a boring moment. But funny enough, there's never a boring moment I'm a bit massive fan. Anyone can tell. My life is going to go down this route, not for me, but for my son. I'm a massive fan of the pro wrestling scene in New Zealand, and I hope it. You know, yourself, Alex Savage behind the camera, it blows up, and it blows up more. Let's say that, and goes on, because you guys and girls deserve the amount of time and, you know, putting it through. There was weekends where it's a Friday in Napier and a Saturday and, you know, Wellington, and then a Sunday in Auckland, and you're doing that on top of day jobs and on top of life and family and all the rest of it. To be doing, as you said, four people in the crowd, four people like me or my son that can meet heroes. Now, we grew up watching on TV, never been able to have the opportunity to see people live. And this is where it's super cool in the scene now. So talk me through Spartan. Was that always the vision for yourself? You know, talk me through, has it always been Spartan since day one?
Yeah, I guess it's something I relate to. I guess it's the mindset and the philosophy that I relate to the most. I guess the stoic kind of philosophy and the mindset of, just enduring everything and putting in hard work will get you where you need to go.
Yeah, and it seems to stick, right? It's an amazing person and personality that you have, that you bring it on there. It's definitely a fan favorite out there. So I think Mr. Savage, you might have to work a little bit harder, mate. We'll see how it goes. So I've got a couple of questions I thought I'd fire through specifically. I asked a few people around the wrestling scene to ask for yourself. So first one for you is favorite match you've ever been in.
Favorite match I've ever been in? That's a good question. I have to say, I think there was something special about beating Horace, the New Zealand Heavyweight Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Horace is a guy I've been, probably for the last 5 years, we've gone back and forth.
Yep.
In IPW and Hughes Academy, all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone back and forth. I've beat him so many times. He's beat me so many times. But when I saw him win that belt, I knew I just needed one more shot at him.
Yeah.
And I got it, and I came out on top. So, yeah, I guess that was quite a euphoric feeling, finally beating him.
I know it meant a lot to you. Afterwards, I know, you know, the years that you, like you said, 7 years, right? That's your first, right? From IPW, 7 years to get to that. And I know at the end, how you were standing in the ring, it would have been the world to you for everything you've put in there, right? It would have been, I know you being Spartan and being a big guy and being all of that, but I know inside, you can admit it would have been a little bit of an emotional moment for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And standing in the ring with Frankie Quinn as well, who had just won the women's belt.
That's true.
I can't even describe how hard she works as well for wrestling. So I think sharing that moment with her as well made it really, really special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you guys are pretty much, like I said, taking over the scene. You did the 30-minute match yesterday on that challenge, and then the Ironman coming up in April, which is going to be phenomenal to take to go and see. So on to the next one, interesting question for you too. If you could wrestle anyone, OG or active, if you could put yourself in the ring against anyone, not just New Zealand, just across the world, if there's someone you would love to climb in the ring with.
Oh, that's an impossible question. So many names come to mind. I'm going to have to go with the generic answer, I think, and say Ric Flair.
Ric Flair?
Yeah. I think just being in the ring with him and experiencing how he controls the momentum of a match and the crowd reaction. I don't think there's anyone really like him. Well, no one that's done it as well as him, I think, so consistently for so many years. It's going to have to be Ric Flair.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'll throw it back to Mr. Savage. I don't normally do big questions to the back of the room, but if you had a favorite wrestler, anyone that you could climb the ring with, don't say Spartan because you're going to happen. That's going to happen on Saturday. But if you could throw back to someone, who would you take?
I'd either step in the ring with Randy Savage or Bret Hart.
So if you didn't hear that, it was Randy Savage or Bret Hart. Bret Hart's an interesting one. I think I've lost my way or stuff with him. I was an HBK big fan, right? So I love Shawn Michaels. So therefore, I got to hate Bret Hart, right? And yeah, he was a clinician and stuff. And I think I just lost more of the way how it all fell apart at the last sort of decade with him. He's falling out with WWE. So I sort of lost my soft touch. But yeah, so if I was ever in the wrestling game, someone like an HBK, Stone Cold, would have been super cool. To experience or see around, Taker, but just dude, he's 6 foot change, you know, would have just, it would never been a match, but Ric Flair, true man, controlled the crowd, still does it today, right? What's his 70s? He can still control and have an understanding. I think it was something that made it really unique in the pro wrestling scene. I'm going to say freaks as in a respect. The few people that have the freak of nature of understanding how to control and work a crowd outside of the skill can still do that today, right? You took a look at a lot of the likes of Ric Flair, look at the likes of Stone Cold when Stone Cold became Austin 316, right? That moment that happened, King of the Ring, when Austin 316, the exact moment that his life changed. Cena came on the scene. The man was so well-spoken behind a mic. You're looking at The Rock, could always handle the crowd and stuff like that. These guys could do it when they're 70, can still come in and cut a promo or keep that crowd going up and down, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They've just got that special, a special charisma. Mm-hmm. Where people are just drawn to them and they know exactly how to take that energy and transfer it and give it back to people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a positive or negative, right? And this is something I'm trying to talk to my son about. Like, he's like, okay, because obviously he loves the sport. He's like, hey, I want to come out. I want to be a good guy. And I'm like, hey, just be a bad guy. Just be a heel. Everyone's against you and stuff. And that's the sort of way when guys are so charismatic, you know, the crowd love him or they hate him, right?
Yeah.
And then that hate almost more important because then it's just people just want to see it. And we see it a little bit in the IPW scene, the Alphas of Auckland, right? I think most of the crowd in Auckland scene hates those boys. They put on a good job.
I think most of the locker room hates those boys.
You know, the Alphas of Auckland, they're highly annoying. They're still subtly funny and the rest of it, but it's such a good point. And they carry it, and it's great. It's like, even my daughter that's watched him once is really like, oh no, not them again, right? But it works, and it's so great.
Yeah.
Is there some stories behind the curtains of the Alphas of Auckland, you know?
Oh, there's a lot of stories about them. I don't know how many of them I can tell on the podcast. Yeah, I think there's nothing when you see them get in the ring and you see them grab a microphone, you just want to.
But that's what I'm saying, the true hate, right? That's where it's causing. But I can go to any event, pro rest, where they're moving around. So maybe it's they go in IPW. I don't know if they went under Maniacs, a lot of those other ones. But I could go to any one of the crowd and go, do you know the Alphas of Auckland? And straight away, they're like, those fucking assholes. They know him straight away, right? Are you talking about them? Seriously, why would you? But that works, right?
Yeah.
And that's in the scene of the pro rest. And that's like a massive tip box to them and all the rest of it and to see their journey. But it's cool how they've made us like, blanket hate or dislike to them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, people, every time you see them, you want to see them get their ass kicked. But the key phrase in there is you want to see them.
Yeah.
And that's something they've mastered because everybody wants to watch them.
Yeah.
They just want to watch them get fucked up.
But
the fact that people want to see them means that people are going to buy tickets to see them. Yeah. Means they are going to have bookings everywhere they go.
Yeah, that's so true. On to the next one. Your Mount Rushmore. Four guys on your mountain, the greatest to you.
Jeez. Again, it's another impossible question. Just trying to narrow it down to four. I'll have to say Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Jerry Lawler.
Oh, the king.
Stone Cold.
Yeah.
And John Cena.
That's a good one. I'm going to throw it over to Mr. Savage. If you want to give me your mark, come on. Two pro wrestlers, and I've got to ask you the same question.
He's going
to
say Spartan.
Spartan.
I mean, similar answer to what I've already given, but yeah. Actually I'd probably say my personal Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Now
mm-hmm.
would be Kenny Omega, CM Punk, Randy Savage, Bret Hart.
So Randy Savage, Bret Hart, CM Punk, and Kenny Omega, your Mount Rushmore. And it's strange, like everyone has a different, you know, I've asked a few people yesterday, actually I sat with the boys knowing I was going to ask this today, and I was like trying to see if everyone had, if there was a similar vibe. And there was normally, you normally get like, between Taker, Austin, and Heartbreak Kid, you'd get one of those three would always be on Rushmore because legitimately they are one of the like, 10 greatest, right? If you look at it, like Taken, HBK, Fort, you know. So they normally fly in. But then there's always the outside ones. There's always ones that have personal meaning or a memory or first time you saw them to each person. So there's always like the fourth one that's like interesting. Like you wouldn't think someone would say that or pick that from that. And it's not bad wrestlers, but it's pretty cool. So, man, one query, and on to another thing as well, is you obviously use the spear
yeah.
as your finisher. I got to ask you, you did it before Roman Reigns. Did he steal your finisher?
You know, I think he stole my finisher. He stole my look. He probably stole my job, I think. a lot of wrestlers use each other's finishers.
Just say no. Just say fucking stole it. I'm gonna cut this up and say Roman Reigns stole your finisher because you did it before him, and you're gonna call him out yeah. and say, "Let's see who does it best."
Yeah,
you just got to get Triple H to give you a call and fly over for one-on-one, right?
Yeah, yeah. Triple H, you've got my number. Give me a call.
When it happens, dude, you better take me with.
Oh, you're coming. You're coming. We're going first class.
First class, yeah. I don't care if I'm in cattle class or I'm in the bags downstairs. If Triple H is calling, I'm coming. Like, I'll get on a boat and
I'll hang
paddle,
off
right?
the wings, man. I'm on my way.
Yeah, so, no. Was there a moment in your path as pro wrestling that WWE was, you know, is that still, I understand with you going in, is that still something that's on top of your bucket list and your vision and stuff and going, I wish I can still wear that? Or is it just to be the motherfucker in New Zealand?
Nah, absolutely. I wanna wrestle for a living. That's always been my goal. Now, obviously, WWE is top of the mountain, but that's where I'm aiming.
Yep.
Because I'm not going to aim, you know, somewhere halfway and, oh, maybe I'll just, oh, you know, maybe I'll just be an indie guy for a while. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I need to aim higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that old saying, it's pretty cliche, but you shoot for the moon, you miss, you're still landing the stars. That's what I'm going for.
And you've done a bit of circuit, all right? You've gone over, you've done a few fights over in the UK, have you not? And how did that go? How's that scene? I was always interested from guys that have wrestled in different places. And obviously in New Zealand, we're a very small culture, Ireland, all the rest of it. So there's a little bit of similarity. And you know, the gyms are subtly different, but it's interesting to see guys that have wrestled, for example, here and maybe in Oz or here in the UK. How's the vibe different than the rest of it?
There's a lot more depth, I would say, to the talent in the UK. Mm-hmm. New Zealand wrestling is so young that there's no one in New Zealand that's been wrestling for 30 years or 40 years.
Yeah.
Like when I've been to the UK twice, I wrestled for a promotion that's been running shows for over four decades.
Yeah.
New Zealand wrestling hasn't, in its modern era, hasn't existed for four decades,
mm-hmm.
let alone having one promotion that's been consistent that whole time. I wrestled a guy called James Mason who worked for WWE. And the reason that WWE hired him is they suspected he's had more matches than any wrestler alive.
What?
Yeah. So he was telling me the first 10 years of his career, he would have 20 matches a week, 50 weeks a year for 10 years.
That's crazy.
How's
his body?
Well,
how's his body, dude?
When you're wrestling that sort of style, you're not jumping off the top rope into the crowd. You really have to try and adapt for that style. But I've never been in a ring with someone like that before, so that was really eye-opening. But there's a lot of guys like that around in the UK. There's so many guys that have been wrestling for 30 years, 40 years. I met a guy that was 61 years old and he had started wrestling when he was 9.
Wow.
Yeah. So 52 years as a wrestler. And there's just nothing like that in New Zealand because the sport's just too young here.
But it's building up, right?
Absolutely.
And it's coming up and it's young. And I think, you know, with what Hughes is doing, with IPW is doing, and with Fale Dojo, I know there's a good relationship between Hughes and Fale Dojo, the guys coming across the different gyms and stuff. And I think it's building up, you know, a lot of the younger crowds. I mean, I know at the moment one of the guys at Hughes, Cody, that's hopefully to make his debut this year. He's also 6'4".
Yeah,
it's both ways. He's gonna destroy, you know. And seeing, I think the future lays in being able to convert the 14, 15-year-old fans and getting them really interested into it, and then by 16, 17, 18 joining the gyms and taking it as their sport. And an interesting one, I don't think the stat would be there, but it'd been interesting to see over the next couple of years of, I know with mainstream sports in New Zealand, there's a, hey, rugby's got 300,000 kids and or 300,000 people do it, and tennis and cricket and all the rest of it is, where does pro wrestling, you know, sudden that scene and see how those numbers, you know, those numbers track, right?
Yeah. It's really exciting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I go to a training school, so I'm a trainer for two companies, Hughes and IPW, and there's nothing more exciting than going to a training and seeing new trainees turn up.
Because
you go, yes, this person, they might hate it, you know, they might leave after 2 weeks, but they could be the next big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I love turning up to trainings and seeing trainees work hard and have respect for the sport. And when they tell me their goals, when they say, I want to debut in the next 6 months.
Okay, yeah.
Well, let's get you there then. You know, what do you have to do to get there? And yeah, you talk about guys like Cody.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a force, I think, when he gets in that ring. We've got a few female trainees coming in as well, which is really exciting. There's always been a lack of female wrestlers in New Zealand.
But I think over WWE, the female scene there is just pushing it massive, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you look at that gender bias way in the 90s, the females were always the managers and they were pretty faces that screamed and looked the part, and then they threw them in the ring to act like they're wrestling. And then you got what you have today with the wrestling scene, the female Royal Rumble and all the championship and, her name's just left me, the current champion. WWE, shout it out, boys. Current WWE champion.
You're talking Rhea Ripley?
Rhea, there we go, Rhea.
How could you forget?
I was thinking about her all day yesterday, Rhea Ripley. And yeah, and she's just savage, man. Yeah. She's just, and I think that's the big thing. She's just savage, doesn't give a shit, the Australian attitude, like, fuck you, I'm going to, and it's great. And I think that's what's also bringing a lot more people, and it's a cool. And I think if they can find another version of her, which might be hard, I think it'll just blow it up even more if they can have this massive Rhea Ripley versus. Imagine, I know Ronda Rousey came over to WWE, but maybe before the right timing, and she's too old to bring it back.
Mm.
But imagine Ronda Rousey coming out from the UFC as that main thing against a Rhea Ripley of today. Imagine that for like a year or 18 months.
How big that
would have been. Them two going at it, it just would have just blown up and brought so much more attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think New Zealand, because we just as a culture, sports is taken so seriously here, and female sports people are taken seriously as well. So I think that's a huge advantage that we have over, I mean, WWE obviously is not like that anymore, but that was back when women weren't taken so seriously as athletes. In New Zealand, they already are.
Mm.
So if we can get them into wrestling, some serious good female athletes,
man,
they could take over. I mean, look at Frankie Quinn, you know, she's a double champion.
Yeah, it's crazy, eh? It's amazing and what you're doing. And it's funny, so my old man came to my old man saw you perform. So a big thing, you did an event for my son's birthday last year. It was amazing. My dad, first time I ever saw it. And then he came and saw the last IPW event. Unfortunately, I couldn't go to that. And Frankie was fighting, where was she fighting? Was it James Shaw? I can't remember, last month. Or something. And he came back and he was like, I was like, how was he? He was like, holy shit. He was like, she took an absolute beating and just came back. And then, but it's funny because he was a novice to the sport and he was like, no, she kept getting slammed and smashed, but she's got obviously very big movements. And unless you know, you won't know if it's her movement or his movement or her or the, who's actually doing the movement and who's getting slammed and the rest of it. So we watched like the clips replays and on social media. And he's like, look, I'm like, no, that's Frankie fucking up the dude, not the other way around. And, and he was just like amazed. And funny enough, he said, okay, he wants to come to Tiaratu. So when on the recording, Tiaratu is the IPW scene red. We two are going to be going at it as one of two of the fights you're doing that night. So he's like, yeah, I want to go back and see it again. So even my dad at 7 years old is now getting into pro wrestling.
Nice, nice. That's awesome, man. It just shows it's for everyone, right?
Oh, I think when everyone gets all this stuff and actually goes and sees it live, yep, and sees how crazy and ridiculous and amazing and, you know, the sports stars. Like I actually talked to my dad years and years ago when it was this big trend when WWE was going through this like downwave before it's picked up where it was now, you know, and everyone's like, oh, it's become boring and it's too fake and it's all the rest of it. My dad would say, yeah, say it's fake and ask a 6'3", 125 kg guy to stand on the top ropes and do a front somersault into the ring and not break something, right? Like me and one of the dads that I've been watching quite a bit, we joke and go, oh yeah, we should climb the ring. I'm like, dude, I'll climb up from the first rope and my knee will give out. Right? I've got just that whole joke of like, yeah, it's going to be easy. Like I don't want to climb in, dude. I was like, it petrifies me seeing what you guys do live. And everyone just says, nah, that's soft. Yeah, come in. I know when we had talks on the show, we shout out to anyone and said, yeah, come to the next event. Jump in the ring.
Yep.
And we'll see how it goes, right?
Yeah.
Silly question. When you travel or when you go anywhere, right, and you've got to put on your immigration card or when you come into a country, do you put your occupation pro wrestler?
I don't know if I can answer that question.
Where?
I don't know if... Yeah. Might get in trouble.
No, you won't get in trouble. I put podcast or YouTuber on mine and it opens so many questions because people are like, oh, you're a YouTuber. So I'm wondering, like, if you travel, then there's nothing wrong because you do pro wrestling. It's not an illegal question. I'm just wondering if you go out there and you go, hey, I'm actually, you know, I keep quiet about my day job. I'm a pro wrestler.
Yeah, I do it the other way around for immigration purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. No, it's just an interesting one to see if, you know, going out on the rest of it. But, you know, Spartan, thanks so much for, you know, from the time today and everything and sharing it. And to anyone that's listening or watching, please, if you're interested in pro wrestling, the sport and what it's meaning to New Zealand, as the likes of Spartan, Alex Savage, Frankie Quinn, and so many more people, guys and girls across the country, take some time and find them on social. Local events, man, are like $10 to come down to a local event and everything else. It means so much for these guys and girls to have 30, 40, 50, 100 people in the crowd shouting and cheering. I know my daughter loves it. Because it's the only time she can go in there and shout, kick him in the nuts and beat him up. And she can shout violent stuff. If your kid loves to get into and is in the fighting games, bring them down. I've never seen a kid that's come for the first time walk away and go, I hated it. They usually love it. They're so shocked and all the rest of it. And it's an amazing. And I'm hoping the sport, you know, blows up more.
Yeah.
And Spartan, as we come up to the end of today, what's the last thing you can leave our audience? What's your thoughts and, you know, any challenges you're going to shout out in the show, just thinking that it's going to air in about three and a half weeks from now, anything you want to call anyone out, call anyone an arsehole or challenge anyone?
I'm going to encourage people to come check out a show, especially if you've never been before. I don't think I've ever had somebody come to a show and walk out, you know, like you said, the first time and go, oh, boring. Because it's the opposite of boring. It's the most exciting thing you'll see that week.
Yeah.
In terms of challenges, wow. When you say it's coming out about 3 weeks?
Yeah, about 3 weeks.
All right. So you already know then I've probably beaten Alex Savage to retain the Kincaid Cup, beaten Vinnie Dunn to retain the IPW Heavyweight Championship. So what's next for me?
Ironman.
1 hour Ironman match. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's going to be held in Kumeu. That is going to be insane. The two best professional wrestlers in the country head to head for 1 hour.
That's going to be amazing. I can't wait. My son does the camera work for you at the moment, been helping out. And the first thing, Alex, you'll find this funny behind the camera. So you did that announcement yesterday. And as soon as we were walking away from the event, he goes, "Dad, I don't think I can hold a camera for an hour." he goes, "My arms get tired from doing filming the event," because he's helping out filming the event at the moment. And each fight can go anywhere 10, 15, maybe yesterday was 30 on the main card. And then he has the break where he can have it. He goes, "I don't think I can hold the camera up for an hour." So I said, it will be interesting to see. But like you said, first time, right?
Yeah.
One hour Ironman, first time in New Zealand history?
That's right. First time ever.
So that's amazing. So if you want to see something, the details will be in the description as always with the show to find out when those next events are. I'll try and make sure this show comes out before that Ironman, so anyone that interests can go across it and to help with the promo and stuff. And now, Spartan, as always, thanks, man. I know you're a busy man. You're doing your circuit. You're doing everything else that you're doing. And full respect to you for what you're trying to do for the sport in New Zealand, like yourself, like Alex Savage and everyone else. Blow it up, man, and it's just make it amazing. So my son that's grown up seeing his heroes, in which it is, he just loves it. And it, as a father, it makes it so special that he's grown up. And like I have a vision that I hope it'll be fun enough. And I already spoke to Alexis about a couple of weeks ago. So like once he's of age, I'm hoping some of the guys of you guys that are still in the scene around are there so that he could have – as crazy it will be, his debut will be one of the heroes he came up to. Because imagine, like we said, now your heroes growing up, like imagine you being able to debut against Ric Flair, CM Punk, or something like that. It's like how phenomenal is that as a person coming through the sport, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's awesome having your boy around as well. He's he's great, and your daughter. They're both great kids, and it's great having them around. So, yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, man. I hope they follow their dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Thanks. And to everyone else, as we end off today's show, thanks for coming over to the Wolf of Queen Street podcast. As I say at the end of every show, I don't care about the shares or the likes, everything else. I just care about taking today's message. If it's something that's important to you or something today, it's really cool. Something's progressing, something different. We've got a brand. We've got different directions. We've got people out in New Zealand trying to make a difference, giving entertainment to our community. Share it along, or no one's saying share this to one person you think it could make a difference on, and see how they'll take it and all the rest of it. But as always, thanks for coming over the show. Thank you for supporting it, and hope to see you again.